Okay, today's daf in Erevin, daf Pei Gimel. We are on Pei Beis, Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud, so let's first finish up our first sugya of today, and then we'll start the big sugya coming up, which is the amounts. Okay, we started yesterday the eighth parak of Erevin, which means that we're back to Eruv Tchumim. We're going to now speak more specifically about how to make the Erev Tchum. In the third, fourth, and fifth parakim of Erevin, we spoke about Erev Tchumim just in terms of the big picture, the landscape, the surveying, the measuring, the actual point of where Tchum begins, where Tchum ends, the corners, right? We had a lot of survey discussion. Now, as we get to the eighth parak of Erevin, we're going to speak more specifically about how to set up your Erev Tchum. The first Mishnah that we dealt with in the eighth parak that was yesterday's daf on Pei Beis, which talked about making a shituf on your Tchum, making a large Erev Tchum, which would basically open an invitation. Look, there's a shir down the road. It's beyond Tchum. Anyone who wants to go to that shir tomorrow on Shabbos, I'm going to set the Erev Tchum right now, and anyone who wants in can get in on the Erev Tchum. The simple pshat of the Mishnah, as we pointed out yesterday, was that that anyone who wants in has to do it before Shabbos actually begins, because when Shabbos begins, so now your Makom Shvisa has been locked, and you're now a member of the city that you reside in, and not part of the Tchum, not part of the new Makom Shvisa. That's a simple pshat. In the Mishnah yesterday, we entertained perhaps a different pshat in the Mishnah. But in the meantime, however, that's what we've been discussing since yesterday, and we'll continue along those lines. The Gemara yesterday had a statement in the name of Avasi, which is the following, that if I have a child, 6 years of age, so he could use the Erev of his mother, meaning mom makes an Erev and that's it. Mom's Erev is going to cover the child because the child really is a dependent on the mother. This is what we call classically a katan hatzarich li'imo, right? He needs his mother, and because he needs his mother, so therefore he's really considered just like an attachment to the mother. Mom ain't Erev, so wherever mom goes, the child's going to go as well. That's the you're going to see that throughout Shas. Whenever we talk about chinuch, the age of chinuch, we generally segregate katan hatzarich li'imo versus katan she'ino tzarich li'imo. Once the child is then tzarich li'imo, so then the mitzvah of chinuch has now officially begun. So it sounds like from our Gemara, 7, 8 years of age already. Now there's a formal mitzvah to be mechanech, to educate the child in mitzvos. In the meantime, however, that was a statement made by Rav Asi. What was the And what was the problem with the statement of Rav Asi? So it sounds like 6 is a little too old. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara, let's go back to the beginning of this whole discussion. It's not that much earlier than when we left off yesterday. One small step backwards, where we're going to begin now on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to go through the sequence of this Gemara. Amar Rav Asi Katan Ben Sheish Yotze Be'er V'Imo Meisvei. Gemara challenges based on a brisa kanchi tzarich li'imo yotze be'er v'imo. V'she'in tzarich li'imo in yotze be'er v'imo. Okay. V'tanan amigabi sukkah ki agavna. The Gemara says the same thing is true by sukkah, meaning that he's tzarich li'imo if he needs mom, so there's no yet mitzvah of chinuch. He no longer needs mom, there is now a mitzvah of chinuch. So kanchi tzarich li'imo chai v'sukkah v'avina b'avezu kanchi tzarich li'imo. So far so good, meaning we haven't really shaked anything yet. Everything is pretty straightforward. The problem is the following. What exactly is the age of tzarich li'imo? Or ain't tzarich li'imo? Meaning, when does the child become now disconnected from mom so that now the mitzvah of chinuch has begun? Amar de Rav Yana kol shenifne mein imo mekan chaso. So, number one says the Gemara toilet training. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar kol shener ve'ino kori ima ima. Wakes up in the middle of the night, doesn't scream for his mother. The Gemara says, Sakadach Gedolam Nami Karu. Now, even if you're a little bit older, don't you call out for your mom when you wake up in the night? Ela Ema Koshinir Mishnah Sovaina Kore Ema Ema. Continuously crying out for your mother when you wake up in the middle of the night. So that is what you tzarich li'imo. If, however, you call for mom once, she doesn't come, you go back to bed. That's Eino tzarich li'imo. Vikama, so far again. There's no real problem. The problem arises right about now. What is that age? Kabar arba, kabar chamesh, so four, about 4 or 5 years of age. So 4 or 5 years of age, eino tzarich li'imo, no longer needs mom. So the problem is very simple. It's very straightforward. We have now a statement by Rav Asi which says 6 is the age, and the Braisa says, no, 4 or 5. Okay? It's not a major discrepancy, but it's still a discrepancy. I'm Rav Yeshua, we're on the top of Pei Beis Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yeshua, but the Rav Idi, Kikam Rav Asi, Kigon Shiri Valav, Aviv Litzafon, Vimo Lidaron. So the first attempted answer of the Gemara is, mom and dad are pulling the child in two different directions. And here, we actually mean that literally. No, we don't mean it figuratively. But mom and dad are pulling the child in two different directions. Mom made a erev with the expectation that the son's going to go with her in one direction. And dad had other places to go that Shabbos. So therefore, in anticipation that, he made an erev in another direction, in the opposite direction. So now the question becomes, now, whether it's not an issue of tzarach li'imo or not tzarach li'imo, it's now a question of basically who's the child go with. Da'afila bar sheish nami b'tzav sadi'ima nichalei. 6 years of age, he prefers mom's company. Mom's nicer, right? Mom doesn't yell as much. So he's going to go with mom and not with dad. So, meisvei. So the Gemara says, okay, but even with that stated, what about the following? Kadosh tzarach li'imo yotzei b'erev imo ad ben sheish. Until 6 years of age. Once again, it sounds like from this Brisa that five is the age, meaning Ad Ben Sheish. Tiyufta de Rav Yeshua bar Rav Idi Tiyufta. So the Gemara says that certainly knocks out the position of Rav Yeshua bar Idi. Lema tav Tiyufta de Rav Asi. So the Gemara says now it sounds like it's difficult for Rav Asi as well, because Rav Asi says that the operative age is going to be six, and the Brisa says Ad Sheish. So Amalecha Rav Asi Ad Vad Bechlal. So again, so Rav Asi says not a big deal. Here's two. Okay, it's from the last time. So six means up to six. In other words, advad bechlal. So we're all talking the same number. So lema te'avet yufta de Rav Yana Reish Lakish lo kashya. So the Gemara says, okay, but it certainly seems difficult for Rav Yana Reish Lakish. They were the ones who gave the definition of what it means to be a gadol, not a gadol. What it means to be an Einot Tzarach Li'imo on the previous Amud. Rav Yanai says toilet training. Reish Lakish was talking about waking up at night and not crawling for his mother repeatedly. So the Gemara says, it sounds like this age now where we're basically saying six, that's well after toilet training, and that's well after continuously crying out for your mother. So the Gemara says, Alo Kasha, Hadi Isa Avua Bemasa, Hadalo Isa Avua Bemasa. So the Gemara says, look, we could say it like this. If dad's around, right, if there's a father figure, so then the child gains his independence a little bit earlier. Right? That's the way Rashi understands our Gemara. Right? Hadi Isa Lavua Bamas. If you take a look at Rashi writes, I'm reading, Vatinok Nichnas Vyotse Imo, Lo Karulate Tzarach Li'imo Mi Ben Dalid Ulamala. Right? So that already now, at 4 years of age, we're talking now where the child is Eino Tzarach Li'imo, there is a father figure in. So therefore, the child is not as attached to mom. Rashi continues with Brisa, but delays the lavua b'masa. The Brisa that puts the age up at the around the age of six, there is no father figure, and so therefore, the child really becomes very connected and dependent to mother. And therefore, the age of tzarech li'imo now is upwards of six. Rav Yeshua lo matzil l'shnui achidaha. And then Rashi goes on to say that this answer is specific to Rav Yana and Reish Lakish, but okay, we got the basic point out of Rashi, which is that we can now say that if there's a father figure, so then the chinuch age actually gets lowered, because the child becomes, quote-unquote, detached from mom around 3, around 4 years of age. However, if there is no father figure, so then we're looking at around 6. Okay, ten Rabbanan. Okay, and now we're still in the world of Erev Tchumim, and now we gave a discussion of Tzarech Li'imo, End of Tzarech Li'imo. Now a general discussion in the Gemara coming up is, I'm a head of household. I'm going to make an Erev for my family. Okay? Right? Do they have a choice in the matter? Right? Right? Anyone who goes on family trips, right? We're going. Well, you don't want to come? Okay, that's nice. Okay, so but no, we're going. We're all going on a family trip. So Tanur Rabbanim Arav Adam Al Yidei Beno Bito Ketanim Al Yidei Avda V'Shiv Chaso Kananim Bein Ladatan Bein Shalol Ladatan. So the Braisa says that you make an Erev on behalf of your children, minor children. Again, Ketanim over here, we could really go either way. Meaning, like the discussion we had a couple days ago. Meaning, does it mean literally cotton, meaning not a bar mitzvah? Could be financially dependent on the parents, much like we had the discussion a couple days ago. Also, your Eved Kenani, your Shivcha Kenani, it's also not much of a say in the matter. Meaning, we're making an Eruv, you're with us on the Eruv. And you don't even, they don't need their consent. Right? You make the Eruv for them. But let's say you have an Eved Ivri. Or an Amma Ivriya. Okay? They're Jewish. They work by you, right? It's an indentured servitude, but they work by you, but they're not, they're independent entities. They're not yours. It's not your property. So v'lo yidei b'no b'ita ha'gedolim, v'lo yidei ishto, ela midatam. However, you have older kids, right? Or you have a wife, so there you need consent. I can't just simply make an eruv before Shabbos and say, okay, invite to every, I say to my older kids, I say to my Eved Ivri, I say to my wife, you're coming with me. It does not work that way. It only works if you have their consent. That is one brisa.
It needs to answer the question. That the father doesn't do it automatically.
Right. He needs... Okay. Tanya Yidach, we learned in another brisa. Lo yarev adam ayidei b'no bito agedolem, vayidei avdo shivchas vayivrim, v'lo yidei ishto ela midatan. Sounds very similar, the second brisa. You need their consent. Your older children, your wife, your Eved Ivri, your Amma Ivriya, you need their consent. But when it comes to your Eved Kenani, when it comes to your Shivcha Kenanis, when it comes to your minor children, so there, I make an Erev Tchum, I have them in mind, they don't have to agree to it, I don't need to ask their permission. Because their yad is your yad. They are totally ancillary to you. They are, anything they pick up becomes yours. In other words, they're really an extension of you. You made an Eruv. You include them, even if they don't know about it. And we can even go one step further, even if they don't know about it. Even if they don't want it. It doesn't matter. Meaning, yado ki yadan. V'kulan she'iruv v'iruv aleihen rabban, yotze mishal rabban. Now, all these people that we just discussed, Ketanim is kind of hard. They're going to make their own Eruv. Okay, but Ketanim, Shivcha Kenani, Seve Kenani, and Ishto, if they make their own independent Eruv, and you made an Eruv, so now they're kind of going into Shabbos now a little confused, meaning they made for themselves an Eruv, and you made an Eruv for them, and obviously the Eruv Tchum is going in two different directions. So, Yotzin Bishal Rabban. Okay, so you win that battle. Chutz min ha'isha. But as you probably could have guessed, with exception to your wife. Min meshi yechol limchos. So except for your wife, where? She could protest. In other words, she doesn't have to be part of your Eruv. She could protest. So the Gemara says, isha ma'ishna. So the Gemara says, I'm not really following. Meaning, what exactly is it specific to isha? Meaning, we could also talk about Eved Ivri. We could also talk about your older children. Meaning, why are we singling out Isha? So, Amar Rabbi Isha v'chol da damila. So the Rabbi says, you're right. Yeah, the point is very well taken. And when we say Isha, we mean Isha v'chol da damila. Right? Isha, categorically. That includes Eved Ivri, includes Amma Ivriya, and includes your older children. Okay. Amar Mar chutz min Isha min meshi yechol limchos. So the... your wife can always protest. So now, basically, the discussion that we have until the Mishnah is basically the following. We now know that when you set up your Erev Tchum, your minor children, they're with you. Your Eben Shivcha Kenani, they're with you on the Erev Tchum. You don't need to ask their permission. You don't have to get a consent from them. They're with you. Okay, your older children, you got to ask permission. Your wife, you got to ask permission. So now the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is this parameter of asking permission? So, time of demachi hastam nafke bedabala, meaning we know the following: that if she verbally protests and she says, "I'm not with you this Shabbos," right? You're set up an erev tchum to go walk over there. Good, I'm not going there. I'm staying home. So we know for sure that if she protests, she does not become part of the erev tchum. She doesn't. She could opt out. What if she doesn't say anything? You set up an Erev Tchum for you and her. She didn't protest, but she didn't consent. Meaning stam. Right? That middle ground. So the Gemara's assumption is nafka b'dabala. That if she doesn't protest, okay, she's with her husband. So hakitani reisha, ela midatam. The Gemara says, yeah, but when you look at the Braisa says you need their consent. My love damri in. So the Gemara says, it's apparently when it says you need their consent, it means it's not just a simple acquiescence, but it has to be an affirmation. It has to be where she verbally says yes. So my love damri in lo, my ella midatam ishtiko. So the Gemara says midatam in this regard means silence, right? Shtika kehoda. We have a general rule that if a person is silent, it says if they're agreeing. So when the Braisa says you need their consent, consent doesn't mean the positive affirmation of yes, I do want to go, but simply I'm not protesting. Lafuch echad amre lo, and that means then that the only time that they are going to opt out of the Erev is when they verbally say we don't want to become part of the Erev. So in other words, the line is drawn not between where she says yes versus where she says no, but the line is drawn where she's quiet versus where she says no. If she's quiet and she doesn't say anything, that's an assumption that she's interested in walking with you that Shabbos. If she says no, that's a protest. So So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the Braisa where the Braisa went on to discuss the following scenario, where she set up her own Eruv, and the husband set up an Eruv. What did the Braisa say over there? Braisa says, if it's a minor, if it's an Eved Kenani, right, the master wins. In the case of a husband and wife, the husband does not win that one. The wife has set up an Eruv, so therefore she'll go in the direction of her Eruv. And the Gemara now notes, now she didn't protest, so the Gemara says, yes, she did. Amarava came and she irvo and lachamichu igado mizet. Yeah, she did protest. You gotta speak her language. Meaning, if she set up her own Erev of going into Shabbos, that's tantamount to her basically saying to her husband, no, I'm not going with you and your Erev of the Shabbos. That's considered michui, that's considered a protest, and that's why she doesn't go with her husband. But, under all else being equal, and she doesn't make her own Erev, and you tell her, hey, I'm making an Erev, we're walking there the Shabbos, and she doesn't say yes, but she doesn't say no, that is considered an acquiescence, and therefore your Eruv is going to be her Eruv for that Shabbos. Okay, Adkan. That takes us up now to the Mishnah, and now we begin with the math. Okay, now before we begin with the math, let's not get lost in the forest, and there's a good chance we are going to get lost. But before we get lost in the forest, let's just remember what we already know. When it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, so if there's a large crowd, just simply means it's over 18 people living in the chatzir. So then we don't need a lot of food. We just simply need a total collection of shtei se'udos, two meals, which as we pointed out earlier in the Masechta just a couple days ago, 18 grogaris, it's 18 figs. And you can have hundreds of people in the chatzir, or in our case here in Boca, thousands of people in the chatzir and in the enclosed area. And nevertheless, just a simple shtei seudos for everybody would be sufficient. Okay, that's for Erev Chatzeros. But we're not talking about Erev Chatzeros now, we're talking about Erev Tchum. Now this takes us back a ways in the Gemara. This takes us back somewhere around Daf Lamed, Chavtes, Lamed, where the Gemara over there spoke specifically about the following. Yeah, shtei seudos. Basically, if you're going to set up your Erev Tchum, you need to lay down food for two seudos. Now, if you remember back when, really, yeah, chavches, chavtes. Okay, if you remember back then, basically what we said is that you don't need two full meals, meaning that's not the pshat. But what you need is a particular food, which is the normal amount of that particular food that would accompany two meals. So if it's wine, enough wine for two meals. If it's olive oil, enough olive oil for two meals. Now here, we're going to be talking specifically about bread. But remember, by Erev Tchum, it doesn't have to be bread. Erev Tchum could be any food with exception to water and salt and mushrooms. But in other words, our discussion over here about shtei seudos is going to be specific to bread. But please understand, because we're talking about Erev Tchum, it doesn't necessarily have to be. And here, our Mishnah is going to ask a very simple question, comma, how much? So now that I'm making up my Erev Tchum, And now that I know my Erev Chum has to be Shtei Seudos, and presumably has to be Shtei Seudos for every single person who's going to be setting up the Erev Chum, so how much do I need enough for two meals? Parenthetically, by the way, it is interesting. I'm going to just simply note, and this is discussed. I just don't have any sources offhand. It's interesting because Shtei Seudos, you need enough for two meals. On Shabbos, the mitzvah is to eat three meals, right? As we know, we did the Gemara on Shabbos, right? There's a mitzvah of what's called Shal Shudos, that on Shabbos there's that extra meal that we eat on Shabbos. So it is interesting that the Chachamim for the establishment of your Tchum for your new Makom Shvisa only requires you to prepare enough bread for two meals and not for three meals. So it is certainly interesting why the Chachamim, when establishing the institution, Erev Tchum, seem to just simply ignore the mitzvah of Shal Shudos. Okay.
Yeah, because most probably they went in the daytime. Nighttime,
right.
In the woods. So it's
like, all right. It's something to think about. It's certainly something to consider. Okay. But in the meantime, however, so far I just lay down the facts. The facts are, for your Erev Tchum, enough food for two meals. Okay, that's the easy part of today's daf. And quite frankly, I wish we could just stop right here and call it a day. Because that's really it. Let's go home. But however, that's not that easy, because now what the Mishnah is going to do is try to really pinpoint in halacha, in measurement, how much is in fact two meals. Kamushiru Ramazna Shay Sudas. Lechol Echad the Echad. So for every single person who's going to set it up, how much exactly is this two meals? And as I mentioned, we're speaking specifically about bread, although we could be talking about other foods as well, but today's conversation is bread. Mizona lechol v'lo l'shabbos divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda amar l'shabbos v'lo l'chol. So a bread's worth a meal, says Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, it's just a question of what day of the week we're talking about. Now, I know, what do you mean what day of the week? Right? We're talking about Shabbos. I understand. But now the issue is quantity. We're trying to quantify how much. So according to Rabbi Meir, enough bread for two meals, two weekday meals, and not for Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just the opposite. Two meals, two Shabbos meals, and not two weekday meals. Now, right now, we're trying to quantify, and we're throwing out days of the week. Shabbos meal, weekday meal, what are we talking about? So the Gemara points out, Zev Zem is Kavna Lahakel. These two first opinions, the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, their real intent is to be Mekel. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains. Rashi says, look, it's the first Rashi in the Mishnah, I'm going to go through it inside. Rashi says, Rabbi Meir Savar B'Shabbos Achel Inish Tvei Mishum Debasit Tav Shilei. So Rabbi Meir's of the opinion that, when do I have my larger meal, Shabbos? I get the feeling, if I were to poll, that most of us would subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Meir. We tend to eat more on Shabbos. And not more in total, but more every meal. Okay? We're sitting down, the food's there, we're not going anywhere. So we tend to eat more on Shabbos. And furthermore, as Rashi points out, and we're going to see this together in the Gemara, basim taf shilei. Right, the food's delicious. So food's better. So again, we're going to eat more of it. V'amri inshi ravcha lebesim ashchiach. We're going to see that line in the Gemara. Right, there's always more room for good food. Right, it doesn't matter how much you've already eaten. So that's the opinion of Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says that yes, there's a two meal requirement for Erev Tchum, but don't base it on Shabbos meals, because we eat huge Shabbos meals. Base it on a weekday meal. So two of those weekday meals, that's the amount you're going to need to set up for your Erev Tchum. Again, Erev Tchum, you understand it's a legalism. It's just all it's doing is establishing my residence in another place. So we're not actually going to be eating our Shabbos food over there. So therefore, it's just basically a minimum requirement. That's why, even though it sounds funny, if Rav Meir says not your Shabbos meals but your weekday meal, it's a little bit strange. But isn't it for Shabbos? Yes. But the whole idea behind Erev Tchum is that it establishes my residence over there. I'm not actually going to be eating there. So therefore, Shtei Seudos, two weekday meals, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Now let's go to Rav Yehuda. What about Rav Yehuda? I'm continuing in Rashi. Rav Yehuda Savar Kevan de B'Shabbos Soi Shal Seudos Ein Ocha Harbe B'Chol Seuda. Rav Yehuda actually goes the other way. He says that per meal on Shabbos, the meals are actually smaller. Why? In the good old days, the general diet, the culture was that you would only have two meals a day. That's it. Late morning, early evening. That was your whole diet. Yeah. Right. The modern culture has have us eating three meals a day, and in Israel also there's snack time. Right, Aruchat Eser, Aruchat Arba. Anyway, but on Shabbos, however, there's an additional meal. Okay, Shal Sudos. So therefore, because you know going into Shabbos that this is not going to be my regular diet, but this is going to be a three meal event. So therefore, what you do is you minimize the amount per meal. So therefore, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the meals are going to be smaller. So when I figure out my two meal bread. The bread for two meals, I figure Shabbos meals, because those meals are going to be smaller. Okay, we're still speaking conceptual.
They both mean smaller meals, though.
That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Their intent, both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, is to get to that smaller amount. But we're still learning conceptual chemistry, conceptual physics. Meaning we haven't even touched the number yet. All we got from the Mishnah, according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, is the amount for two meals. Amount of bread for two meals, and they're debating whether I'm eating my smaller meals during the week or I'm eating my smaller meals on Shabbos. Okay, and now we get to the nitty gritty. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says the following. Okay, now we deal with numbers. Now, just understand the following as we're about to get into the numbers. It's helpful if we had a very solid working knowledge of what the coins were back then. And how much volumes were for flour. So, I'll do this quickly, but we got to get through this. When one kikar is purchased for a pundayon, I'm sorry, yeah, when one kikar it goes for a pundayon, when the rate is dalet sa'in besela. When I buy dalet sa'in besela. Now, dalet sa'in is equivalent to 24 kav. Okay? Just say it as mantra. Four saw is equivalent to 24 kav. That's the volume of flour. Okay. And then on the other side, so 24 kav is purchased with one sela. One sela is equal to 48 pundayon. We're going to learn shkalim soon enough. Mm-hmm. Right? We're going to go through Erevin, we're going to get through Pesachim, and then we're going to learn shkalim. You're going to hear that word pundayon again and again, and so you'll get comfortable with that term. So one sela is equivalent to 48 pundayon. So therefore, my 24 kav at the market rate, is purchased with 48 pundayon, which is equivalent to one sela. Okay, if I just simply break down the numbers, it comes out now that one kav is going to get me, I'm going to need two pundayon in order to buy one kav. A half a kav, therefore, is going to be one pundayon. Okay. So one pundayon is going to get me now a half a kav, and that would be equivalent to shtei seudos. That is right now, as presented, the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shtei ados lekikar, mishalosh lekav. Rabbi Shimon goes in a different direction. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that it's two-thirds of a loaf when three are purchased with a kav. When three loaves are equivalent to a kav. So three loaves are equivalent to a kav, two-thirds of a loaf. So therefore it comes out that two-thirds of a loaf is equivalent to shtei seudos. Okay. Comes out now, let's just do a simple amount of math. It comes out now that according to Rabbi Shimon, every loaf of bread is equivalent to three meals, because he says two-thirds of a loaf is two meals. So every loaf of a bread, according to Rabbi Shimon, is three meals. One kav is going to be three of those loaves. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, one kav is equivalent to nine meals. Okay? Comes out, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, that one kav is equivalent to eight meals, right? A half a kav is two meals, so one kav is equivalent to, right. What I should be saying now is four, and ultimately I'm going to be ending up saying eight. But okay, fine. Right now let's say four, because that's That's how it presents itself right now. Well, we seem to have a huge discrepancy in the Mishnah between the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broka and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in terms of what is the totality of a meal from bread. So again, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's 2/3 of a loaf. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, it seems to be a half of a loaf. Okay. Stay tuned. We're gonna explore that a little bit more in just a moment. Okay, so now we know how much bread, well, we don't know, meaning it's a machlokas, but at least now we have two opinions in the Mishnah in terms of how much bread is necessary in order to constitute two meals. Okay? And this is what we're going to call from this point forward, going forward, a loaf of bread. Chatzya lebeis hamenuga. Now, whatever that shear is, take half of it is going to be beis hamenuga. It's a funny halacha. Comes up a number of times throughout the Gemara. I mean, truth of the matter is, you can learn Masechta Nagayim, and you're going to see this in much greater detail. But basically, the halacha goes like this. You walk into a Beis Saras. You go into a house of Saras. The halacha goes like this. You become Tamei immediately. Okay? A Beis Saras is similar to walking into a house with a mace. Okay? So just by simply being in the airspace of the house, you become Tamei immediately. How about the clothing on your body? Interestingly enough, it's based on Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Rashi over here goes through some of the drashas. You can take a look at Rashi. We're not going to go through it together right now. Your clothing becomes your clothing is on a time delay. Your clothing does not become tamei immediately, but only after you've been in the house for a little bit of time. Well, how much time are we talking about? The time that it eats that it takes to eat a half a loaf. This is what we call pras, a half a loaf. Rashi notes, you hear that term a lot throughout the Shas, right? Pras, a half a loaf. Rashi says that's it, meaning that's what we're talking about over here. For example, right, we say that when on Pesach you have to eat matzah, bichdei achilas pras. The amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf, right? What is that shear? It's half of the loaf of bread. Now it happens to be, by the way, there are two opinions in our Gemara, what that loaf actually represents. Is it going to be Rabbi Shimon's loaf, or is it going to be Rabbi Yochanan Broka's loaf? Fine. There's a dispute in terms of what that loaf actually represents. But whatever it is, half of it's going to be pras. So when you walk into a Beis Menuga, the amount of time that it takes to eat the half of a loaf. Chatzi chatziah lipsol sagvia. Another point to consider. That if you eat half of that, which now is, we're now talking about a quarter of a loaf, if you eat a quarter of a loaf of any tamei food, you now, the consumer, are now tamei and no longer can eat truma. You have to tell them the mikvah, wait until nightfall, and then only then are you allowed to eat truma or, for that matter, be tahor. As Rashi points out, this is a din d'rabbanan, this is not a din d'araisa. You don't become tamei min haTorah by eating tamei foods. You become tamei min haTorah by coming into contact with an avatoma. Nevertheless, the chachamim made a gzera, and as a result of that, you will become tamei. You will be disqualified from eating truma once you eat a quarter of a loaf of tamei food. Okay. The Gemara has a really simple question. Kama mazon shtei seudos. How much is shtei seudos? How much is two meals? Now, that's a funny question coming out of the Gemara when the Mishnah just dealt exactly with that issue. In fact, that was the totality of the Mishnah. So Rashi points out over here that this question is going back to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Remember, in our Mishnah, there essentially are four opinions. Two conceptual opinions and two actual opinions. Right? The two conceptual opinions were Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where they were arguing in terms of how much does a person generally eat during the week versus how much you eat on Shabbos, whichever is a smaller amount, take two of those meals, and that represents your shteis seudos. Okay? But that's it, meaning that's all we got out of Rameir and Rav Yehuda. So what the Gemara right now is trying to understand is, well, what exactly is their shear? We don't know. So Amar Rav Tarti Rifta Ikaryata, Rav Adabahava Amar Tarti Rifta Nahar Papita. So the Gemara gives two examples. These two illustrations, I mean, if we lived in Bavel circa 3rd century, we would have a great understanding of what these loaves of bread actually are. Being that we're now some 1,800 years removed from this from these types of breads, right? They're basically farmers' breads, nahar pepita. Okay, in other words, the Gemara right now is using breads that were common in their age, in their day, to try to describe what exactly were those two loaves of bread for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, le Rabbi Yosef, bread de Rava Avuch, kaman svirlei. Who does your father hold like? Rabbi Meir svirlei. Ananami Rabbi Meir svirlei di, Rabbi Yehuda kasha. Had the Amri Inshi Rav Chalabesim Ashchiach. Yeah, I agree with Rabbi Meir, meaning that we tend to eat more on Shabbos than we do during the week. Because we have the statement, we saw the Gemara in Megillah as well, made the exact same statement, Rav Chalabesim Ashchiach, we have room for good food. If the food is sweet, if the food is delicious, right? Think about dessert, right? Dessert's one of the funniest phenomena that we know. You just had a huge meal, mm-hmm. right? And then what happens? Oh, okay, good, it's time for dessert. But it's just, if you think about it, it's strange, but the Gemara says, Rav Chalabesim Ashchiach, that if the food is delicious and it's sweet, so, right, okay, fine. It's, obviously, it's time for dessert. Okay. So therefore, again, what we got out of this is that, according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, machlokas in terms of when we eat more food, the Gemara says, Rav Meir really makes more sense. We eat more on Shabbos, our smaller meals during the week, and so therefore, whatever his shear is, whatever it may be, the Gemara tried to give us examples, but whatever it may be, it's the weekday meal is a smaller meal. Okay, next. Rav Yochanan ben Brocha Omer Tana. Now, here we get into the really technical discussion, and basically it goes like this. Look, we attempted to quantify exactly how much bread we're eating for two meals. Comes out that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, a pundayon purchased us two meals. It comes out that it's a half a kav. Okay. It comes out that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a kav can buy you nine meals. So two-thirds of a loaf is going to be shtei seudos. Okay. So, fine. So what we now seem to have is a somewhat pretty large discrepancy between Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha in terms of how much bread we're actually talking about. The problem is a braisa. Tana, we learned in a braisa, ukrovim divrayim liyoshavim. They're not that far away from one another. They're actually pretty close to one another. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Me dummy. Rav Yochanan arba seudasa lekava. Rav Yochanan is going to squeeze out four meals out of a kav. And Rabbi Shimon, teisha seudasa lekava. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's nine meals that come out of kav. How can you tell me that there's only a small difference between the two? I don't know what your definition of small is. Right? There's a huge difference between the two. Rav Yochanan has only four meals coming out of a kav. Rav Yochanan's meals are humongous. That's a lot of bread per meal. And Ravi Shimon says, no, there are nine meals that come out of a kav. His meals are significantly smaller. Less than half of that of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, I just don't understand the braisa. Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, well, you really don't understand Rav Yochanan ben Brocha, because here's what you didn't factor in. Yes, it's true. Rav Yochanan ben Brocha says that the going rate of purchasing is going to be one kav, a half a kav for a pundayon. Yes, that's true. And based on that, it came out then that every kav is going to represent four meals. Okay, but that's not really true. Because Amar Rav Chista Tzemein Shlish Lechenvani. So because even when we are buying, we're not actually going to be getting two meals for a pundayon. What you got to do is figure the Chenvani's got to make a living. In other words, he's going to take some and you're going to take some. And how much is his profit margin? His profit margin is going to be a third. Okay? So the Gemara says, okay, so that means he's going to get for himself a third, so that means it's not four meals, but it's a third greater. So it's going to be six meals. So now we're talking about a difference between nine versus six. Nine meals per kav according to Rabbi Shimon, six meals per kav according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, nine versus six, That's not small. That's still a pretty large discrepancy. So the Gemara says, no. What's happening over here is that the Chanvani is not getting a 33% profit margin. He actually is going to get a 50% profit margin. So that means that it's not four meals that are coming out of a kav. There really are eight meals that are coming out of a kav. It's just that when you go and buy, you're only going to get four because he's going to retain four for himself. So what comes out now really is that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's eight meals per kav. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, no, other way around. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, it's eight meals per kav, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's nine meals per kav. Good, that's better. So the Gemara says, perfect. That's exactly what we want to hear. Right? Eight versus nine. Now, the Gemara was a little bit funny, where the Gemara says, according to Rav Chista, the Chanvani keeps a third of the profit margin, and according to Rav Chista, it keeps half of the profit margin. Now, I understand if there's a debate between one Amora and another Amora. But it sounds over here that we have, what, two Rav Chistas? Meaning it's a little bit strange. Kashi de Rav Chista ad Rav Chista. The Gemara notes. The Gemara says, Lo kashi had de kayayi balabait sivi. Had de lo yayi balabait sivi. Well, it depends. Meaning, the profit margins of the baker fluctuate. And it's not based on his mood, but it's really just a financial decision. If you go to the baker and say, hi, I'd like to buy from you, and you hand him a pundayon, and you hand him also fuel for the fire, so now the baker doesn't have to be a chazer. He doesn't need to keep 50% of the baked goods. In other words, so there he'll give you two-thirds, he'll retain a third. If, however, he's got to supply the firewood, that's more cost for him, so then when you give him the pundayon, you're gonna make eight meals of bread, but now you're gonna go 50-50. I'm gonna take half, you're gonna take half. Okay, fine. Simple, straightforward. So let's make sure that we get what's coming out of all these Gemaras. As opposed to our Gemara, which the way it was presented was that it sounds like there was a huge discrepancy between Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon. Basically, what we did now in the Gemara is we really whittle it down so that there's not a large discrepancy between the two. Comes out now that according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, every meal you get eight. Not every kav of every kav of flour. So what you're going to get now is eight seudos. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to get nine seudos. Okay, now. Take a look at the sheet that I handed out to you. Okay, now we get to, I know we haven't even started today's daf yet, and I know the time is already up, but look, it's a lot of information. Take a look at the daf. Now, what I have over here is two columns, to the left and to the right. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is to the right, and Rabbi Shimon is to the left. Now, skip the first chart, because that was based on the Mishnah, but now we've gone through the Gemara. So now we know that the discrepancy is going to be a smaller discrepancy. It comes out now that how much is two meals that you need for your Eruv? So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a third of a kav. Okay? According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, it's a quarter of a kav. So now that we're here, so it comes out now that for Rabbi Shimon, a third of a kav is equivalent to eight beitza. By the way, if you want to do the conversion, you can look at the top of the page, and you can see, right, a log is six beitza, four logan is a kav, six kavan is a saw. The math works out. So it comes out now that according to Rabbi Shimon, your two meals are going to be eight beitza. And according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, your two meals are going to be equivalent to six beitza. Furthermore, keep going down. The base hamanuga, right? How much is a pras? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's four beitza. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, it's going to be three beitza. Keep going down. We have that for the psul hagviya. How much tummy food are you going to eat in order to become tummy? We now are going to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, two beitza, and according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, a beitza and a half. Now drop down one more. Now, we didn't see this yet in the Gemara, but it doesn't matter. Drop down one more. Tumas ochlin, meaning food becoming tame. Well, how much food do I need there in order to become tame? You know what the Gemara says almost throughout Shas, without any exception? How much food do you need in order to become tame? You need a beitza. The Gemara says it, like, I can't, off the top of my head, I cannot think of a place in Shas, and I'm not holding by all of Shas. But I'm just, in other words, it's almost like mantra. We've been saying it again and again, a beitza. It comes out, now you look at the chart, it comes out that according to Rabbi Shimon, that's half of the psul hagvia. Tumas ochlin now is your next half. Right? It's, right, we go from Erev, half is Beis HaMenuga, half is psul hagvia, and half of that is going to be Tumas Ochlin. Comes out now that the sheer beitza of Tumas Ochlin is according to Rabbi Shimon. If I go to the other side of the column, I go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, where my starting point is six beitza, half is three, half of that is 1.5, and half of that is 3/4. Comes out, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that the amount of food in order to receive tuma is going to be 3/4 of an egg. Let's just go through a little bit of Gemara for two reasons. A, let's see this point in the Gemara, and B, let's at least start today's daf. So it's just straight from heaven. Chatzil abeis amenukav, chatzil abeis apsul asagvia. Tana, we are now on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Vechatzi chatzi chatziah letamei tumas ochlin. I know, like, in a vacuum, it'd be an impossible line of Gemara to understand, but based on everything we just said and we just went over, it's perfect. Meaning, if my starting point is my Eruv, so I take half of a half of a half, and I get two Tumas Ochlin. Chatzi, 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 alatami Tumas Ochlin. So, v'tani didam aitam alatani Tumas Ochlin, the Gemara has a really simple question, which is the following. So now that I know that every time I take my loaf of bread for Eruv, my shtei sudos for Eruv, so I knock it down a half, beis amenuga. I knock it down a half, psul agvia. I knock it down another half, Tumas Ochlin. The Gemara just wants to know one simple question. How come that wasn't in the Mishnah? Meaning, wouldn't the Mishnah have made it a perfect opportunity to go over this next step, that half of the psul agvia is going to be Tumas Ochlin? So the Gemara says, my time alotani Tumas Ochlin, mishim toloshavi shirai la dade. So the Gemara says, because it's not exact, it's not precise, the Gemara is going to get to in just a moment, there's not absolute precision in terms of Tumas Ochlin. Okay, and we're going to explore that better tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, just know now that half of that is going to be Tumas Ochlin. When we say throughout Shas, how much food do I need in order to receive Tumah? We say throughout Shas, it's a Beitza. Who are we following like? We're following like Rabbi Shimon. Am I making that observation? Sure. But I'm not the first. Look at the top Tosfos on the Amud. V'chatzi, chatzi, chatzi, alatami Tumas Ochlin, Tosfos writes, Akulu tanai kai, k'dem afarash bekunshus, l'rib ben broka k'disle, dahinu k'beitza chatzi revia. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, it's going to be a beitza minus 1/4, otherwise known to us as 3/4 of an egg. Or the Rabbi Shimon, k'beitza shleim, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be a full egg. V'hada amar b'chol duchta, k'beitza, Letami Tumas Ochlin, and now throughout the rest of Shas, I don't know if we have to remember this, but it'd be great if we did. Throughout the rest of Shas now, when you hear, how much food do I need in order to receive Tumah? How much food is going to be subject to Tumah? I need a beitza of food, Hainu k'Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is basically siding like Rabbi Shimon, velo k'Rav Yochanan ben Broka, and not like the position of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. So good. All right, so get to work backwards to see that we do in fact follow like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop over here. I know we're behind. We'll make up ground tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow, please hold. Hang on to this. This is going to be extraordinarily helpful tomorrow. As tomorrow we're going to go through more numbers and more math, but basically we got it down pretty well. Okay, we finished the discussion today of Erev Tchum and setting up for your family, and do I need their consent or do I not need their consent? Do I need my wife's consent? The answer is yes. Just question of how. Right, what's the definition of consent? We started the discussion today of how much is actually considered two meals vis-a-vis bread. Machlokis between Rameir and Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, although we're not really clear what their actual positions are. And then Machlokis Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. Although it sounds like in the Mishnah like it's a big discrepancy, as we got through the Gemara, it's really not a big discrepancy. It comes out now that basically for one Kav, it's 9 meals that come out of a kav versus 8 meals that come out of a kav, not a big discrepancy. And then in brass taxes, in terms of how much it comes out to, it's according to Rabbi Shimon, 8 eggs represent your Erev, eight egg volumes, and according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, 6. 6 egg volumes. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. A continued refuah shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shona Rivka, for Rafal Zak Avram and Yekira Avigail, for Malka Bas
Sarah.
And Le'ilu Nishmas Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef Rechanan Ben Kasher Maratzik Hashem Baruch Hu Zak Bistol Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anach Hafei Tzaman Tziko Yagdil Torah Viyadir.